Good morning, everybody.
Tis the season. December has nothing on the month of May for busyness and coming and going. I think half the church is traveling or doing something today, and so that's good. We are in health and doing well and prospering. The Lord's been good. He's good to us. He's good. He's good. And getting to see some, just lots of neat things happening in this season. And that's fun. I was telling somebody, I don't know that I mentioned this at church, but there is such an oppression that has lifted, at least I can only speak for myself, but there's such a difference, there's such a thing that is lifted. I would pray my heart out. I would get good with me and Jesus, like just feeling his presence and enjoying things. And there would be something on our services, our meetings. I mean, I had no clue, still don't. But I'd be all just good and pumped up and directed, and the meeting would start. And I only say it because there was something there, that just an oppression. There was just such a hard thing to break through, and it didn't seem to matter what I did. It just was always there. I just would struggle to speak. I would struggle to be up, and I don't even have an answer as to what happened, other than I'll say this: we have persevered. We've continued to walk with the Lord. And as if you will just follow him, he does have a plan. The Holy Spirit in your life is truly a guide that will lead you up that mountain path. And he will lead you into your deliverance and lead you to that place of fruitfulness and lead you to that place of freedom. If we will only stop looking for formulas and just follow, just walk with Jesus. He does not intend to leave you lost or leave you out. He will give you what you need. He will, but his intention is to lead you out so that you stay out. And every time I see someone make a quick, you know, frying pan flash of a change or transition in their life or conversion even, that always gets tested. And often people that happens to, I don't see them, they don't abide, they don't remain, they aren't able to endure the trials or difficulties of life, of things that come. And they do come, don't they? I mean, they do. It's okay, because the Lord needs us to choose him and then continually to choose him. He needs us to say yes to him and then keep saying yes. This relationship with him, just like your relationship with your friends, your family, your husband, your wife, it is continual. It's perpetual. It needs to always be in, always have interaction. And if the last time that you said you loved your husband or wife was at your wedding ceremony, how many of you know that just doesn't get it? Even though many men think that it should. Well, I told you once, you know, you'll get that sometimes. Before we get enlightened. Before the enlightenment comes, we're like, I told you that, you know? I bought you a ring. I did, you know. It's like, hello? I'm like, yeah, that was good. How about more of that? That needs to be, she would say to him, honey, that needs to be continual. And, you know, before we put that all on women for needing that, you watch a woman remove her support or her affection for her husband, and I've had them at my house in tears. They fall apart. And what they took for granted yesterday and now experience, it's the absence, they are, you know, broken, like it's hard. So we need each other. We need relationship. How much more with the Lord? And so every time we have worship, you know, we just do this. You know, I always want to say, hey, make the most of this moment. It's good. But as we do this and we sing these songs, sometimes we're familiar with the words and we sing the same song over, but it's that choice to give that expression one more time. We continually need to be interacting. It's healthy. It's normal. And the Lord requires that of us. It's like, I know you were with me and you were in yesterday. Are you in today? I know you were yielding your heart yesterday, but I need to know, are you yielding your heart today? Are we still here? Because he never pressures. And this is why we've got to be so careful not to manipulate one another and put pressures that are fleshly, actually, on each other for certain behaviors. All of this needs to be born out of the heart, born out of relationship. And our Father in heaven, most of all, wants just interaction with us. He wants relationship with us. He wants this to be continually yielding and relational. And so, hallelujah. That's really neat. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. I just feel led and drawn. I'm looking up some of my notes that are on my phone. We often look at this, and I've come back. I suppose I've, you know, preached out of this passage 100 times in my ministry, maybe at least. I don't know. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 10, but it's just so profound, and it returns us to, we are a prophetic church. We love the prophetic. Why? Because Daddy's talking to us. And we got an upgrade in our religious information that said God's not dead, and he's not mute, and he didn't only speak once. He doesn't change. We have the infallible, we have the word of God that we value and honor, but he's interacting with us all the time. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, I run into adults all the time that are still messed up from a father that just wouldn't talk. From a father that just wouldn't relate to them that he cared about them or loved them. And it's not natural. It's not normal. We have a heavenly father that talks. He gives us his word. He gives us instruction. And he's always talking through his son and through the spirit. That's fun. He gives you, I mean, turn it into a major game. He's speaking to you. He's giving you direction. He's giving you clues. He gives us words. And we go, wow, that word is a long way off from what life looks like right now. And if you're a good realist, like I've spent a lot of my time being, you go, well, I'm not going to speak that. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. How can you say something's alive when it's dead? How can you say you're rich when you're broke? How can you say you're going to have a building when you're meeting in a tent? The word was, the promise was, this would be here. We prophetically got that like people felt the actual place of the building. They perceived it in the spirit. We're like, whoa, God was in this place. Like, and then year after year, all I had to show for it was three crosses that I planted on top of this hill. And they were getting old. Leaning, the birds were resting on them. and you just go, when, Lord, you know, this promise is getting, you know, it's getting weak. It's getting raw. It's old. It's showing signs of age. When? And just at the right time. Let's read Ezekiel chapter 37. This is the story of this valley of dry bones, and this is your life. You want to see awesome things? You got to go here with your prophetic words. You've got to speak to the things that are not as though they were. The hand of the Lord came upon me, verse 37, verse 1, and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. So they weren't just bones. They were dry bones. Dead is dead. Gone is gone. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. Oh, I already read that. Verse 3. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, this is the beginning of wisdom. Don't answer the Lord's questions. They can be tricksy. Be wise and go, I think I know. No, you say, you give me the answer. Oh, Lord, the prophet says, oh, Lord, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds of breath and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. So, phew, wow. So in this, when the Lord gives us prophetic words, we scratch our heads. We even scratch our heads at one another sometimes. Go, whoo, you know, I think the prophet's drunk. Does he have any idea what he just said to them? He doesn't know them, but we know them. Like, whoo. Now, sometimes we're like, oh, yeah, that's really good. Then he gives a word to somebody and you go, ah, I don't know. Jesus loves he speak the power of his words to speak. Do you know this? Maybe you do, but if you don't live this, then maybe you don't. We've got to be so careful about singing words that we really don't believe, not to the extent that we take it out and it shows up Monday morning at work, at play, at home. We can't really say we believe things when it doesn't show up when no one's looking, when it doesn't show up at the kitchen table. It's one thing to have a reaction to some bad news. It's another thing to act like a heathen about it, like you have no God and you have no hope and you have no promise and you have no word. At some point, we got to stop that. That can't be. If we're going to be this, then we need to be this. If we're going to realize that the Lord cares so much that he's still talking to us, Jesus is always talking to us and speaks good things and promises, we've got to stop blowing them off. Treasure them, value them, hold them dear to your heart, look at them till life changes. Can these bones live? Stop answering the question and you're on your own. Is there any hope for this? Not a chance. We ever going to get out of this problem? No way. Is this ever going to change? Never. We'll start quoting Murphy's Law and not the word. Next time your car breaks down, what comes out of your mouth? Things always go this way, or the Lord will take care of us. Where do you go? Next time you receive a relational wound, a disappointment, an offense, do you trust it'll work out, that you'll get to the truth? Or do you go, those relatives? Got to start, these words are powerful, and the Lord's giving us these, and it begins What if that's the key? You go, Lord, help me. It's like, I did. I gave you a promise. Speak that. It'll come to life. You know Speaky? I know Dewey. How's that for baby talk? You don't treasure that? Then I sent you two boats and a helicopter. You know, it's that story. The guy's in a flood, standing on his roof. Lord, help me, save me. You know, boat comes by. Hey, you want to jump in? No, no, the Lord's going to save me. You know, another boat comes by. You want to jump in? I'll say, no, 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 the Lord's, I'm praying for the Lord to rescue me. Helicopter comes by. You know, here, take the rope, get up. No, no, I'm waiting for the Lord. You know, then he dies and goes to heaven. He's like, Lord, why didn't you save me? I said, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. You know, or something like that. I don't tell jokes good, but the point's great. I gave you a dozen prophetic words that spoke to this. If you'd have just said yes, if you would have just give it voice, if you'd have just planted the seed in the garden, you would have a planting of the Lord in your life. Tough, challenging. We have some things we're good at in that, and there's other things that, we got to get beyond how we feel, get beyond going with just, you know, how it appears. Phyllis and I have been working at this. Stop all the deducting and the analyzing and the trying to figure things out. That's what this prophet, you know, the Lord asked him, can these dry bones live? Like, go ahead, shoot yourself in the foot. Give me a logical answer. Let's see if anything happens. Or you can ask me what the answer is, because I know, and you only think you know. So the Spirit would say, is there any hope for this situation? Be careful. Before you answer, go. I don't know, Lord, what are you saying? Ooh, how wise. There's wisdom. I can be wise. I can turn these questions back on the Lord. Lord, you tell me. Good choice. Let me tell you what is impossible for you. It is impossible. And without God, it's impossible. That heaven will agree. Without me, yep, you don't have a chance. Without me, it will always go this way. But God, but me, but whatever. So I wanted to share this. I was in at Marion at a meters leading. That's not what I meant. A leaders meeting. That's very funny, isn't it? Actually, okay. You think? Okay. So this little girl, who is the daughter of Jamie Overholt, who's very prophetic, that's come and shared here, her name is Annika. And I see her at this meeting. She's in the house. We're just meeting in a house. And she comes up to me and she says, I dreamed of you. And then she runs back in the living room. I'm like, you know... Follow the little girl, you know? And so she's young enough. I don't know how old Annika is. 5. So it's hard to get things straight out of her, you know? They, one minute they're playing with a baby, Barbie doll or a baby or shoving a little rainbow pony in your face or whatever. And then the next minute you get a little bit of information and never lasts long. Catch it quick because boom, they're gone and out, you know? So you sometimes even need a translator. She goes, you were in my house and you were standing at the front door and you were looking out my front door and there was a buffalo in the front yard and you were staring at the buffalo and the buffalo was staring at you. And then she was off. Game was on and she was doing something else. And then pretty soon she come back, there's more. Then I had another dream and I saw seahorses. There were two seahorses. But they were without a home. They were like they were looking for a place, and there was white all around them. Well, right away, the seahorse is very significant to me. I had a really significant dream when I was young, and the seahorse, I'll just say this, the seahorse that I saw go across the heavenlies, it was just huge. It was big enough to be big in the heavens, goes across, and I am aware that this is a miracle from God. And so I wake up, and I'm like, whoa, I'm going to see the supernatural. Like, I'm going to see a miracle from God. I'm going to see something tremendously in my life. I'm going to witness this. And I was totally, like, overjoyed about it. So she's talking about seahorses, and I believe that represents it represents the miracles of God, and that it represent, and that white represents the presence of the Lord. Of course, you need to know in your heart what a dream means to you. Like, you can have a lot of information, a lot of answers, and a lot of, but in the end, if you know the dream is for you, or whatever you feel it's for you, or you have the dream, you need to have in your heart, here's what it means. And I usually get stuff. If I have a dream myself, or someone has, I get to where I get real settled about what the Lord's saying to me. I tune into that, and I wait, and I ponder it. I don't work at it, but I ponder it till I know. And so I believe that it indicates that their miracles are coming, that this is coming to abide, like coming to be with me. I'm like, I'll take it. It has to do with the presence of the Lord. And then there were a few other little things. So I'm like, I'm listening. Like, this is just so cool. It's so cute in their innocence. And so I look up, because I'm like, buffalo, what the heck? Well, actually, Phyllis did. She Googled it. I love Google. Do a lot of my Bible research on Google. Google's great, you know. It's just so fast. If you can't remember the verse, but you only have a word or two, Google it. It'll get you on track. So anyways, buffalo in a dream, you know, we just Google it. Well, like, the Lord knows that a buffalo doesn't necessarily mean anything to me, but then I'm going to read. It was like, it was just this way of leading and directing me. Listen, this is like, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll take this too. A buffalo in a dream, strength, abundance, gratitude. Ian Carroll, the leader from Chicago that I recently heard, he would, of a couple key things as he was speaking to a leaders meeting, he said, gratitude is like the key to heaven, just being thankful. You know, we're looking for deep secrets, you know, and we get together as leaders, and like, you know, what's the secret to life? You know, I don't know. We're always looking for answers and direction. And here's this man, he's like, gratitude, being thankful, it's huge, big key. That, and make sure you're a son. He's a father of leaders, but he does, what I want to be is a son. If I just can be a son, if I can just stay in sonship, I'm good. That's my goal, to be a son, to be a good son. Oh, okay, that's profound too. So gratitude, it's huge. And then the sacred, like this represents the sacred, which clicks with some things that I've been praying about. And then the word survival, and it says, pay attention to the path you're on. Yeah, cool. I've been doing that, like just looking at what's the path I'm on, just paying attention to this. And so one buffalo, here's my favorite of the whole thing. One buffalo means you are likely to experience a major increase in your income in the near future. Yeah. I like it. That's good. This little five-year-old delivers a word. If I'd have blown her off, well, I'll just tell you, I didn't want to do that. It just encouraged me. And it helped me in personal areas to take my eyes off of what I was seeing and feeling, experiencing, and turn my eyes to the prophetic word, to the promise, and declaring that. Back in, at some point in my life, I heard some leaders talking about their churches, And here was a recommendation from a wise church leader. He said, here's what you should do, pastors. It was to pastors, etc. Dream about the church that you would like to have. Because pastors are always disgruntled about something and blaming the churches for what they're not doing, where they're not being. We all blame somebody for whatever, you know. So it's, don't be shocked at that. That's natural for all of us. It's my husband. It's my wife. It's my job. It's the government. It's Obama. You know, it's like, you know, something's always the problem. And the recommendation was, dream about the church you'd really like to have, and that'll be the church you end up with. Ew. Because as all of us, it's true of all of us, we get so focused on what we don't have, we get so focused on what's wrong with our life, we get so focused on what's bad about us, we don't dream. And actually within you, and the Holy Spirit being your witness and leading you, those dreams, and then if you're able to dream, then it kind of like takes a real dreamy attitude to even believe prophetic words most of the time. Because they're like, most of the things the Lord has said about me, I've had a lot of hard time believing them. I've pushed away so many things because I go, I don't see it. Phyllis and I would get, we would get words about influencing other leaders and speaking into other leaders. I mean, talk about Sarah laughing. I would just laugh my head off. I'm like, oh, guffaw, you know, like whatever. I can't even fight my way out of a brown paper bag most of the time. I speak. And now I find myself without trying, not in an organized way, but as I'm meeting other leaders, thinking, I don't even think about having anything to offer. One after another, I find myself in these positions where I'm giving wisdom. It just comes out of me. I just start speaking into things. I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? It's just with such ease and such grace. And then I remember these words and I go, oh. Like the Lord's going, told you. Told you. So I love this when he knows what we have no clue about, when he's speaking into our destiny and we're speaking into our history, he speaks into our destiny, we speak out of our history. How many of you know that's probably not the wisest thing you should do? Let your past be behind you. You know, I don't know. But be really careful. I like to try to make things right. And even in that, it goes sideways so fast. What did Paul exhort us? I've preached it not even that long ago. Forgetting the things that lie behind, press forward, press towards the goal, the high calling. And you can only do that if you meditate on what the promises are and what the Lord's telling you. And you declare that and speak that. And it changes, like we need something that changes this, the countenance right now. We're always trying to change situations and circumstances. Change this. Change your heart. Your heart changes things like it releases things. Start carrying around a blessing. Carry hope. Let hope be in your heart and carry it. And just hold it. It's like put on a nice fragrance, cologne, whatever, you know. You don't have to walk into a room and go, hey, what you're smelling is, you know, take a sniff of me, you know. But a true, you know, truly something that you are carrying that's part of you, you don't have to announce it. Just go, whoa, who smells good here? You know. How much more spiritually if we're carrying a fragrance of the Lord because our heart is full of faith. People, they smell it. They feel it. They experience it. They're like, hey, I want to hang around you more. How many things that you can steer and guide by speaking life? Man, I'm so convicted. I've withheld myself from so many situations. I'm truly convicted about it. Again, I start getting prophetic words. The last leaders meeting I was at in Chicago, I kept getting words about, you have things to offer. Again, this is the hardest thing for me to receive. It's just hard. I go, I grimace. I get a prophetic word about that. Like, you've got, I'm like, not outside of my little box here, my little world. I listened and I re-listened to those words, and they kept this three people that were prophesying over me. We went to, like, had prophetic sessions. They kind of kept saying the same thing, indicating the same. They kept coming back to this, like, got stuff to offer. So I kept thinking about it, and then I began. I know how I handle all of you when I put different people in position. Like, I can think of, I do this with Maria when I put her in something, and over the years, maybe she's doing, I'll just use her as an example. I don't think she's here, so she's fair game. She's in charge, like years ago, she was in charge of, she was doing a women's meeting for young women. And I remember giving her instructions, Maria, this is really good. I want you to be in charge of this. I want you to be in charge of this. I want you to lead. I don't want someone else leading. I want you to lead this group. It didn't last real long because she didn't stay in that position. She didn't stay in that place. She didn't hang. Like, my father's heart was, I choose you. I know your heart is good. You don't have to be perfect, but I want you in this place, and I want you to do this job. I want you to just stay in that posture where you follow your heart and you decide how you want these meetings to go. I've done the same thing with Phyllis. Phyllis, as you're doing your women's, I want you to lead. And I always encourage her, you lead. You, if something's, you don't feel right about something, deal with it. I want you to lead. If you don't lead and you don't stay in that place, because you're the one with the heart and vision for this, then it won't be fruitful. Every time the right leader doesn't lead, things fall apart. That's true anywhere. So I know what my heart is when I release things to people, how much more my father, when he's saying, Rick, you have things to say, and the same to all of you in your different places. He's speaking to us things and we're like, I'm feeling insecure. He's like, get over it. Rise up. What was his word to Joshua as he took over his leadership? He's like, son, I want you to eat, drink, and breathe this stuff. You get my commands, like paste them on your forehead, whatever you have to do. Meditate on this day and night, but get it right and don't depart from it, because I need you to lead and I need you to be really clear about this. I'm choosing you. Don't concede. So when the Father's calling us into things, it takes some guts to go, okay, Lord, if you believe in me and you're saying that and you're choosing me for something, then okay, I receive that. I'll do what you say. I'll start believing what you're saying about me and take courage. This is different than pride. This is different than self-promotion. This is about clearly hearing the Lord's direction and encouragement, and the Lord promoting you and setting you in a place and just cooperating with that. Now, striving and self-promotion, that's always bad, and I'm not talking about that. But when the Lord's directing and planting you and placing you, and the only way you get there is by believing what he says about you, even when you don't, you know, even when you go, whew, I don't know, I'm weak, I'm broken, I've got issues, I've got history. The Father would say, I only see Jesus in your history. Is there anything else you want to bring up again? is once repented for and once we turn to the Lord, we can really trust. We can trust that the Lord is faithful to bring those things to pass. There's something I wanted to read. I'm sorry. Here it is. One of the books by Steve Backlund called Elevating Truths, or Higher Perspectives, I mean. He points out three things in this thing about believing prophetic words are on the same subject. We have power. This, again, you know this stuff, but let's say it again. We have the power to create life with our words. And I referred to that teaching by, what was the name again? Robert Henderson did teaching about what happens in the courtroom. And several of us have listened to that. Jesus is your advocate, and what takes place there with an advocate, and what, you know, there's a lot of reference to courtroom, a realm in the heavenlies. And it's very important for us on earth as well to not be agreeing with the prosecuting attorney. He's got enough witnesses. You don't need to join them. There's enough incriminating evidence. This isn't about you going there and going, I'm innocent. You're probably not. Give it up. This is about having someone show up on your behalf that says, yep, I got them covered. I'll pay the price for their failure. I'll stand in for them. They get out of jail free. That an advocate, he comes and he not only gets us off of the crime, you know, he vindicates, he pays the price, he pays the penalty. So we don't want to argue on our own behalf for things, because you're usually wrong anyways. So how much more when we're speaking of our loved ones and other people, we will be careful what we say and what we declare, because it matters. Even though we say, well, I wasn't praying, you're declaring it on earth. We speak things. We go, well, it's true. This person's bad. Be careful. Be careful. We want to agree with heaven. We want to agree with what the Lord is saying. And when he's speaking good things and when he's speaking hopeful. Every person with a testimony was a dirty, rotten scoundrel before they, you know, the testimony is, I was really bad. Now, you know, now I'm forgiven. The power to create life with our words. Death and life are in the tongue. We know that. Second thing, there are no impossible situations. You need to resolve that. There are no impossible situations. That's challenging. Because before we, you know, the day is over, you're going to face something that really seems impossible. You'll see something that really seems impossible. But that is only your limited thinking and your limited belief. That is actually not true. What if I just tell you that? You're wrong. But what you believe matters. Nothing's impossible. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Now, make a choice. Do you believe this or not? Do you believe it to the point that you'll change what you say and change where you stand in things? I want to change. I want to break out of things that hinder and keep me locked in and keep others locked in. And then he says, the third elevating truth, we can expect to live a supernatural life when we partner our beliefs, words, and actions with the creator of everything. This partnership will produce supernatural breakthrough and life. These signs will follow those who believe. So it's not about you being better on yourself, but it's about partnering. And this is where we're back to how relational this all is, and in your interaction with the Lord, that you're interacting with Him and relating to Him, and you're always want to get on His side and get into the position with Him. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, because you see that. I want my confession to be, I'm with you. I'm agreeing with you. It's hard, it's a stretch, but I'm agreeing with you. It's above my pay grade. It's not what I'm good at, but I'm believing in you. Let's let our behaviors start to follow this belief system. If we don't believe that anybody will be healed when we pray, then what's the conclusion? What will happen? You will never pray. However, if you've had the prophetic word, and we have our script, we have the Bible just to start, then the Lord gives us bonus promises, bonus points, bonus things to believe. Senior got bonus points today because her and Dwayne came to church even after they got an excused absence. I said, you get bonus points. We begin to believe that we have a word that that someone is going to get healed when we pray, then we start believing that, then we'll start praying for people. Then we'll take risks and chances. Some of the people that have broken through just in that area, some of the most phenomenal miracles and things are people that just practice it till it happens. The stories of Heidi Baker over in Africa, when she got a real grip on the ability to pray and pray for, she would, you know, and many of these people do in the ministry, target specific things, people that they pray for. And I forget which thing it was, blind, where was the blind that she was after, that she just if she was driving down the road and saw a blind person, she just slammed on the brakes and pulled over, jumped out of the car, ran over and prayed for every person she could. And we were hearing Kevin Dedman's son, Chad, talk about this. He knew how many people she prayed for before she got her first manifestation of a miracle. 2 years of it. You willing to do it for 2 years without results to get to the third year? Good question, huh? Are you willing to fail in relationships for several years or 100 attempts to get to 101, to get to the experience of a breakthrough? Are you, you know, Phyllis and I, we can say this, we're still here. How many, you know, if we'd have known how many years in ministry, we'd be like more or less unfruitful. Like, that's kind of how we feel it. But there's something that's changed now. Are you willing to do it all these years and just struggle and strive and, you know, about die doing it to get to the fruitful? I'm glad I wasn't asked the question in the beginning. But now that we're this far in, and the same with all of you, all have these stories, all these situations, things that just didn't turn out the way you expected. If you'd have known when you started out, you'd be like, I'd have never done this. Maybe that's why you didn't know. Maybe that's why nobody told you. I've become really wise in my, you know, in these days. I'm really clear about why the Lord, there are a lot of things He didn't tell me. I'm like, oh, I get it. It's like, oh yeah, You could not have known, you know, it wouldn't have been good. Cherish your words. They're powerful. Cherish your prophetic words. They are bonus promises to have the Lord calling you into things. Don't evaluate them on their plausibility or their potential for coming to pass. Just say, yes, Lord, I believe. I'm crazy. It makes no sense. Okay? I think I'm crazy. I probably am, but I don't want to be guilty of not agreeing with you. I don't want to be guilty of not lining myself up so that if there's a chance, if there's a one in a million, so there's still a chance, you know. That for that minuscule hope that we'll still give ourselves to this. So I just would encourage you, relook at things the Lord said to you, pay attention to things. I believe he's always wanting to help us and encourage us. And so let's give attention. We're so blessed to have this. We're so blessed to be able to believe it because, wow, if I'd have stayed on the track that I started, I wouldn't believe anything. So he's brought me through time and seasons and places, transitions, that I value these things. I believe these things. So let's, with all of our hearts, embrace and take all the Lord has for us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just give you thanks for all you're doing in your life, in our lives. Thank you for every situation that's causing us to look up and seek you. Every situation. Seasons of disappointment. Thank you, Lord. It made us look. It made us seek. It made us ask questions. Seasons of transition that we didn't think we'd live through. We may be in right now. Just thank you for it, because you're not the Lord that is leading me into lostness. You're the Lord who's leading me into being found. And you're so intent on it that you speak things that seem ridiculous to me. You call me to things that just feel so ridiculous sometimes, so far from what is even possibly true. Thank you. Kingdom come. Realm of heaven come. Kingdom come. Realm of heaven come. Your will be done. We just cooperate today, right here. I just want to cooperate with you. I don't want to fight you. I don't want to shut down and limit you. I'm sorry. I apologize for all the resistance and all the foolishness. I can't change my height. I can't change things that are, but I choose to believe you. With you, there's nothing that's impossible. Everything's possible. And you will finish everything you've begun in my life. You're so faithful. When everybody else gives up on me, including myself, your promise abides that you will finish what you've started until the day of Jesus Christ. You'll finish what you've begun. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate this. Let's meditate on your goodness. Wow, you are good. I just meditate on your patience and how kind you are. I'm aware I don't deserve it, but now that I have it, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.